going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Joining us now on WEEI Afternoons, NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran, is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining, at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, are we excited about the events that are going to happen in just a couple hours?
Yeah, very excited. I think it's a fun night to be a Patriots fan. I know that it might just be a big fatty on the end of the line, but I think it'll be a very useful pick. And I also think that this draft in general, you're not talking about safeties and defensive tackles and linebackers. You're talking about ball handling types. You know, when the Patriots didn't get a lot of offensive firepower and free agency, I think the die was cast for this draft to be about playmakers. So hopefully it will come to pass that that's what it's all about.
Tom, it's... I mean, I just want to get this question. I'm curious. So you're going to be, I'm guessing, probably in studio. How do you watch the draft? How do you like to watch the draft? Are you on Twitter? How do you consume the NFL draft usually?
We're going to be, see, it's hard now because as I'm listening to you guys talking about the evolution of the draft and just how big it's grown, we're going 5 hours live tonight, 7 to midnight.
Okay.
So the pick is at 8:40. We're not going to talk about Will Campbell for the next 3.5 hours. We're going to end up talking about things that and people will watch. They're going to want to see the press conferences. They're going to want to see what people have to say. They're going to want to see what, you know, Brian Hoyer, and if you were here, what you had to say about the decisions that were made and how they fit in the Mike Vrabel scheme. So we're going to be there in studio, you know, digesting it as you go. Breer and Phil are both in studio as well, and they'll be you know, they're both very plugged in the draft, so we're going to have plenty of artillery. But it's fun to do it that way because you get real-time reactions from people who've been very invested for months.
Tom, I don't know if you heard the call we just took. Matt in Rhode Island was suggesting something that I know I think a lot of Patriots fans are hoping for. They've settled on maybe they just stick and pick Will Campbell at 4, but could they trade back into the back end of the first round, maybe get a wide receiver or whatever else they may need? Do you you think that's a possibility?
I don't think that's a possibility. I could see them moving down a smidge in the top 10. I mean, would you like to see them trade back in the first round to 23 or 21 so that the Steelers could? No way.
Two first-round picks are fun.
Say that again?
Two first-round picks are fun. Remember Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower? That was fun.
Well, how would you conjure two first round picks if they trade back?
No. Stay at 4 and then utilize, you know, your second round pick, something else.
He means trade up into the first.
Move up to 20, whatever.
I'm 1,000,000% fine with that. I'm 1,000,000% fine with if they can find a way to get back up for a player that they have targeted as being exceptional. You know, if they look at somebody at, you know, say for instance, just for the hell of it, Say Tyler Warren and the Michigan guy.
Go, buddy, go.
They both
preach.
Start plummeting down the line, the board. Or why not? You get, if you end up walking out with Tyler Warren or Loveland and, you know, Will Campbell, that's a pretty good first round. So if have to give up your second rounder to do it, next year's second, what the hell? Have a day.
Hell yeah. Look, I'm going to – you and I, Tom, are going to – the Tyler Warren, you and I are both I've been riding your coattails with Tyler Warren ever since you put that name out there, and so it's going to be fun to track his career and see how he does. But I'm curious just about – I've been talking about kind of, you know, Patriots head coaches, their first year, Bill Parcells' first year, 1993, gets Bledsoe and Slade and Rucci and Vincent Brisby, Pete Carroll. Chris Canty, and you saw how his tenure went, and then Belichick gets Brady, you know, in his first draft. Do you feel like just this draft will set the tone for Mike Vrabel's tenure here, much like the previous Patriots head coaches has?
Indisputably, yes. It has to set the tone. I think through free agency, he tried to set the tone for the type of players that he wants here, but that's just spackle. You got to get wallboard. You got to get your drywall right now for your foundation and your core. So to me, the draft is about finding those players that you alluded to. Again, the 95 draft that you were a part of, Ted, critical to the success of that team. The 94 draft, they got Willie McGinnis. The 96 draft. All of those drafts were absolutely critical to the success of the team in the late 90s when you guys still went to the playoffs, two out of three seasons under Pete. And then the early tenure of Bill all the way through to about 2006, still were making hay. But Bill also did a great job in 2000 and 2001, along with Scott Pioli, of bringing in the free agent spackle, which ended up being guys like Vrabel. Mm-hmm. So they've tried to do the spackle, but now you got to get the wallboard up. And they failed to do that last year because they tried to keep one foot in the past by re-signing a lot of players who were part of a dysfunctional team. And now they're moving on from some of them. And also by fanning when they had opportunities to do well in the second round because they just got too cute, second and third and fourth round. So they have to be sure that you have contributors, not projecting.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us on WEEI Afternoons. And Tom, one of the pieces of footage or video that we'll get sometime tomorrow is War Room. Right, we'll see how the Will Campbell pick happened, Robert talking. And I think this year there's maybe some interest in that video because I heard you on, I think it was Quick Slants, I heard a piece of audio of you telling Elliot Wolf to basically manage to stay out of the way in the war room. So I'm wondering,
just like, answer the phone when it rings.
Right, like what? There's a lot of guys involved in this process that we sort of know who they are. Matt Groh, Elliot Wolf, Ryan Cowden, obviously Mike Vrabel. Are you interested to see how this pick comes about? Do you even have a strong feeling? Is Elliot Wolf staying the hell out of it? We'll just use your system and stay the hell out of it, let Vrabel make the pick?
Well, yeah. What I said on Quick Slants was you want your general manager to generally manage to stay out of the way because his time in Cleveland and his time here as a titled person in the personnel department has been horrible. So I am interested to see it, but I will also note that at least somebody who is as attuned to it as Bill Belichick, you remember in 2021 when they picked Mac Jones?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Pete Kendall often mentions this to me. All the way around the room.
Yep.
All the way around the room and pointed at every guy, goes, "You good with this? You good with this? Are you good with this? We all good with this?" People didn't even expect to be called on. What do you care what I think? So Bill wanted that to be a shared selection. It was almost as if he was sending it out beforehand. I'm fine with this, but it's not me alone. So with that in mind, I don't want to infer too much about Elliot's role or non-role, but what will interest me is Ryan Cowden's role.
Yep.
He's actually going to speak to us on Saturday after the first few picks are made in the draft. So it's going to be Vrabel tonight, Wolf tomorrow after rounds two and three, and then Ryan Cowden on Saturday, and then Wolf is going to do an end-of-draft address. But I find that interesting because they're putting him on somewhat level ground.
Is that the first time he'll be publicly speaking to the media, Ryan Cowden?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yep, interesting.
First time we hear from him.
Okay, that is interesting. Tom, I could talk to you all day, but you're gonna we don't have all that time. But I'm just
that's
hey,
okay.
It's a foregone conclusion. You know, it feels that way that Will Campbell is going to be the pick. How are you going to feel about it? At the end of the day, we've gone through, okay, it's not our Tyler Warren, but it's Will Campbell. How did the Patriots do it at number four most likely to happen, they get Will Campbell? Your thoughts on Will Campbell?
I feel good about it. You know, I think that from the time Ronnie Stanley decided to re-sign with the Ravens, it was a fait accompli that the Patriots were going to take a left tackle in the first round of the draft. And that's when we all start, you know, turning our attention to an extent as pro football writers and guys who cover pro football to say, okay, they got the fourth overall pick. They didn't get Ronnie Stanley in the draft. Who can you get? And over the course of time, we've come to examine Will Campbell to the point where we have great misgivings about a scintilla of cuticle that he doesn't own to make his arms 33 and whatever length. I counter that his athletic ability, toughness, mobility are going to counter that half an inch time and time and time again. So to me, I think that Will Campbell will be a good pick. I don't think he's a guard. I think he's a tackle. I think that Vrabel has made that very clear, so I more base my opinion on his opinion. So they're going to take the best tackle in their mind, and they're going to take Will Campbell. And, you know, I'll feel good about it in that as someone covering the team, I won't have to continue to write stories about the idiocy that goes on in trying to fix a spot with hope and popsicle sticks.
Tom, there's been sort of late, not I guess late reporting, but just how much Vrabel fell in love with Campbell, and not just the football, the measurables, but the style, the attitude, the work ethic. There were reports of how much he nailed visits. There was a report that they had a late visit this week down to his home somewhere in Louisiana.
Oh.
Does that fall in line with this culture, you think? Is this a pick that's as much about building the culture of the offense and the offensive line and being the leader as it is that he also just happens to fill a left tackle hole?
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, I think that dovetails nicely. You know, we talk about, and Vrabel actually talked about, best player available meshing with a position of need. That's the ideal. And this is, even though some people will have misgivings that he's the best player available, you can really throw a blanket over those guys. Is it Warren? Is it, Ashton Jeanty? Is it Campbell? Is it Jalen Walker? Is it Shamir Stewart? I mean, whoever you want to toss out there, you can throw a blanket over them. So the Patriots are taking someone who fits their culture, who plays that position, projected at a high level, and is going to be someone that is durable and brings the right attitude. And I think that you're right. This offseason has been very explicitly about attitude and removing entitlement. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. When you listen to the kids' press conferences, sometimes I don't like listening to 21- and 22-year-olds who have,
Amen,
like,
brother,
an edge to them, because I'm like, you know what? You don't really know till you know. But
yeah.
I'm sure that it's embraceable. Not that I know. I didn't play in the friggin' league. But
yeah.
I think it's interesting to just listen to the way he speaks, because he's very matter-of-fact.
Yeah. And there's a humility in that matter-of-factness. Tom, my last question for me. I'm just – You know, Tom's been covering the team since 1997. That's 28 years.
Exactly.
So that's a long time.
Chris,
I'm just
kidding.
He's
that's
old.
Right.
He's old.
That's right. That's exactly. Yeah, the Chris Candy. Do you have any favorite draft memories? It doesn't have to be about the Patriots. It can be about, you know, just any draft, anything that stood out that you remember in past drafts that were memorable for you that you think of fondly.
You know, it's funny. In 2008, I was working for NBCSports.com. They had finally launched a website to cover the NFL because they had the NFL. So it was 2 years after they started that. And I covered the draft in New York and sat down with all of the top five picks as they came off at Radio City Music Hall. So that was cool. A cool experience talking to, Chris Long and guys like that. But also, Bill was so approachable for a long period of time. And I remember talking to him in 2000, I think it was 6. And he was leaving the podium. And I said, you guys could still take Maurice Jones-Drew, Just on the side. He's like, yeah. It's like, you should take him. He's good. I would take Maurice Jones-Drew. They had already taken Maroney. They had already taken Maroney, but... It's always been fun. It's a fun night, I hope everyone enjoys it.
Absolutely. It's a night of hope, Ted Johnson says, for everybody. Night of hope. Hope you had fun talking with us, Tom Curran. And I look forward to next week when we get to ask you to grade the draft. Before they do anything, we ask you to grade the draft. So have that ready for next week, okay?
Thanks, Tom.
100%. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Tom.
See you, bud.
See ya. 617-779-7937. If you want to react to anything that Tom Curran said, it is draft night. He, like all the rest of us, have sort of accepted that it's Will Campbell. Yep. Even Ted Johnson may not love it, but he's accepted it could be Will Campbell. Up next, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the comments from Tom E. Curran, including his views, Teddy. You and I talked about this on the ride over. His views of Elliot Wolf. They seem very interesting to me, so we'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons.